This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump said that he's ordering troops to Portland, Oregon, just hours after Mayor Keith Wilson noted an increase in the amount of federal law enforcement in the city.
We have armored vehicles on the streets of Portland and reported agents throughout our community.
He said that was not necessary, but President Trump today says he's, quote, authorizing full force, if necessary, to handle what he called domestic terrorists. The president's threatened more prosecutions of political opponents after the charges filed against former FBI Director James Comey. ABC has learned that one charge alleges Comey shared information with a close friend about an investigation connected to Hillary Clinton so that friend could pass it on. The FBI fired agents who kneeled after George Floyd's death in 2020 during protests. The FBI Agents Association called the firings unlawful. And Tropical Depression 9's formed in the Atlantic, likely to become a tropical storm. It's prompted a state of emergency in South Carolina. This is ABC News. Government funding runs out Tuesday. There could be a shutdown Wednesday, and no talks are scheduled this weekend between Democrats and Republicans.
Democrats are demanding an extension of Obamacare tax credits in exchange for supporting the temporary funding bill, but Republicans aren't budging. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries criticizing the president for attending the Ryder Cup golf tournament rather than negotiating a deal.
Democrats are here in the Capitol, ready, willing, and able to sit down with anyone at any time and at any place in order to find a bipartisan path forward to fund the government.
Melissa Adan, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Asada Shakur has died in Cuba. The black liberation activist had lived in Cuba since the 1970s. She was given political asylum there. She escaped a U.S. prison where she was serving a life sentence for killing a New Jersey state trooper in 1973. Democrats and Republicans in New Jersey said justice was never served. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese
you
buffet.
Know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. It's National Farm Safety and Health Week. Farmers and ag workers are actually in one of the most dangerous industries in America, and it can even be hard on their mental health. Some statistics show the nation loses a farmer a day to suicide. Here's Eric Tegedoff.
The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics data from 2021 to 2023 found farming, fishing, and forestry occupations had the most injuries per capita of any profession. Cynthia Curl is the director of Boise State University's Curl Agricultural Health Lab. She says there are many dangers in agricultural work that we might associate with other professions like construction, such as the use of heavy machinery.
There are also unique hazards to farm work like pesticides, livestock, different kinds of diseases for people that are working in animal production. And then there's all of those kinds of weather challenges that also face construction workers like extreme heat.
The National Education Center for Agricultural Safety leads the recognition of National Farm Safety and Health Week in September as the busy fall harvest nears. The theme this year is Safety First, Avoid the Worst. People have drowned in manure ponds of large dairy farms in the winter.
They can ice over or get covered in a little snow and not be obvious where they are. And people have driven machinery seemingly across a field, but actually into a manure pond. That's happened a couple of times in the past decade.
She also points to safety training from organizations like the Pacific Northwest Agricultural Safety and Health Center to help make the industry less dangerous for workers. I'm Eric Tegedoff. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Lots of sun today. We'll see highs in the upper 70s, south winds at about 5 to 10. For tonight, clear skies, no wind, mid-40s, sunshine with a high near 76 for Sunday. Sunday night, clear and 55, sunshine on Monday, high of 82. Right now, 71 degrees.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with T. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with T. Schwaba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Crust of bread when the last man dies.
What's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside the shootinist, huntinist, fishinist, kayakinist, mountain climbinist, campinist,
new boat havenist,
rock and rolling, hair a flowing. Danielle Fairman. What's happening, Danielle?
Did you hear that? A new boat?
I don't think it's very possible for me to not hear you bought a new boat. Something tells me that even if you didn't tell me that, you'd be on the heels of telling me that.
Oh, this is very true.
I didn't know you got a boat.
I just bought it today.
Wow. How come it's not attached to your truck?
Because it's at home. That's an hour and 15-minute drive.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not joking about this. I travel. Everywhere I travel, half of my truck bed is equipped to completely waterfowl hunt.
Fantastic.
I've got three layout blinds, 450 decoys. I've always got, you know, the shotgun in the back seat, which means I can never ever go on school property. And then the other side has got the turkey blind, the chairs, and all that. So I'm ready to go during the season.
Oddly enough, his stuff, he has so much stuff in his truck that it overflowed into mine, and I've been driving around with his fishing poles in my truck for about 2 months.
Well, keep the source of your hunting and fishing near the person who's going to cook it. That's my theory there.
Oh, that's perfect. I like that theory. It's a really good theory.
2 months ago at some point, I evidently put fishing rods.
Yeah, we all went fishing.
Oh, that's right.
And I have a table and fishing rods in my truck ever since. And they have been to a lot of places.
Aww.
Oh, and that is the voice. Those are the smooth tones of Chef Ellie Lawton, our certified French culinary and the official chef of Raised in Wisco. And today, hold on, folks. Get ready. Sit down for this news. Not only do we have the czar of Facebook, Megan Salazar, with us today. She's coming and bringing her expertise as a dog trainer and a culinary, what is it when you do wine stuff?
Sommelier.
And we're going to get to Chef Lawton's promise a few weeks ago to be fluent in French by now, talking with the sommelier. But Megan Salazar.
A few weeks ago. That was a few months ago. I've been practicing my Spanish.
Fine. You've had longer
Spanish.
Than
these.
Megan Salazar just returned from literally the International Dog Training Championships.
Woo!
Was that not the exact title?
It was the Bird Dog Challenge World Championships.
Well, there you go. I thought I was pretty close.
You're close.
I mean, I kind of pulled it out
World
of thin air somewhere. Before we get to that, and she did very well, folks. I'm just going to let you in on it.
Are you surprised about that?
I'm not.
She is fantastic.
Megan, the Salad Bar Salazar, is very adept in dog training, very clearly witnessed by those in South Dakota, were you?
I was in South Dakota.
Yeah, in South Dakota. Let's first get to our weekly Wisco.
That's a ghost.
What do you got?
I have two of them.
2 weekly whiskers.
2 weekly.
Now, wait a minute. These are not like Josh falling into a puddle or your truck breaking down.
No. This one is I finally bought a boat. Granted, okay. It's a John boat, but it's a 17-foot low roughneck John boat with a 50-horsepower motor.
What does low roughneck mean?
It's just the type of boat.
Okay.
Does this mean you're selling your kayak?
Brand?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. Good.
That's too bad.
But it came with a duck blind.
Oh, I love those. Where you just pull up the sides and it's an automatic duck blind.
Why am I blanking on the raffia grass?
Raffi grass. Yes.
Came
okay.
with all of that. I got it from a friend for a dang good deal. I'm super excited.
Well, we're dang excited for you.
It's my early Christmas present for the Belskis. So.
And now so for excited. Folks who don't know,
that is quite the
Josh
Christmas
Belsky
present.
Josh Belsky is the person who is spoken about most on the show with the least amount of say about what he's spoken about.
This is true. This is everyday life for him.
Josh, even when he's in here, he's kind of a quiet dude. So.
Which is weird.
The poor guy has to sustain our, talking about him every week. You know, he's welcome to come and defend himself.
He knows, but he's staying home with the dog.
The Belkoviches bought you this boat.
The Belskis.
Belskis.
Wow. The Belskis. You guys are doing great. You guys are doing real great. I bought it for them.
I'm just pronouncing it
phonetically. You bought it for them?
I bought it. Well,
I thought they bought it for you.
No, I bought it for, because his son, Lucas, the 16-year-old, has been talking about he wants to go out there duck hunting and a blind on the water. He wants to go fishing and all this kind of stuff. But we have the kayak or a canoe. And
and it just doesn't cut it.
And he's just been super excited. And he got a job. He's been saving money. He's been doing really good. And a friend that I've been talking to, I was like, hey, keep an eye out for a boat. I'm looking for a boat. I want to get them for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And one finally came about. And he's like, you cannot pass this boat up for this money. Absolutely not.
Wow. That's awesome. So, and that story is very similar to when I bought decoys and shotguns and layout blinds as wonderful gifts for my daughters.
Yeah, exactly.
I bought myself six horses. I bought them for somebody. I bought them for Megan.
Bought those horses for your dogs.
I have one.
You have one horse or one dog?
No, I have lots of dogs.
Wait a minute. Chef Martin gave contributor Megan Salazar a horse?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I literally tell her, get over here and take care of your horse.
I would have heard that story and thought,
his name is Yankee.
Sorry.
Gosh, wow.
He's a really good horse. One. She loves him.
Jacob is laughing. Jacob's running the joint from the fishbowl back there. Well, yes, Jacob?
Oh, do you know what they call a guy who has a boat like Danielle's boat, and he uses it to steal wine?
Let's hear it.
A pirate.
A sommelier pirate.
Jacob! That doesn't even fit in the dad joke category. It was actually a great joke.
Oh, thank you.
I thought that was fantastic.
Jeez. I like it.
Jacob, you came right in and stole the show.
It only took me 6 minutes after the conversation. to
6 minutes and 2 years producing the show. Let's not forget that. Let's move on.
Goodness. Wow.
That's not very pirate of me. So, Chef Lawton, do you have a weekly Wisco?
I have a lot.
So do I.
I don't know how to
choose.
Seems
like it was a long week.
I'm going to go food first.
Ooh, I like that idea.
I finished up our big food show at work, which was amazing. We had like 2,000 people. We cooked a lot
of
food.
Holy cow.
It was awesome. And then my second one is squirrel hunting.
Oh, you went squirrel hunting.
Yeah. Oh, I also have a really cool goose hunt, too.
Yeah, that's mine. So,
I'm happy to talk about that. Okay, yeah, you can share
you
that.
You took Megan squirrel hunting?
Yeah, and Dave showed up too.
And Dave is just to keep the audience
Dave was
informed.
In Megan tricked him into coming.
Just when you didn't think you were actually listening to Desperate Housewives of Southern Jefferson County, and Danielle talks about her boyfriend, Megan Salazar, the sommelier, brought her boyfriend Dave along, and Dave is joining. Dave, get in on the mic for a second. You know, I'm often outnumbered by women here. I could use a little help.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
You don't have to sit there so quietly. Everybody be just happy to learn about your tactics
Dave,
as well.
Dave, don't feel sorry for him
Dave's
for a
not
second.
Even laughing. Yeah, I know. It's all right. Well, that sounds like a great weekly Wisco.
It was a busy week.
Megan Salad Bar Salazar, do you have a weekly Wisco?
Mine wasn't in Wisconsin. I was in South Dakota all week.
Oh, and that's the reason you're here.
I was
squirrel hunting doesn't count.
Oh, I squirrel hunted too.
Okay.
The majority of my week was in South Dakota.
Evidently, Chef Lawton had a much better time hunting with Megan than Megan had.
No, it was a great time. It was actually a fantastic team effort on the squirrels.
Awesome.
Ellie called them. I spotted them. Dave shot them.
What?
Wow, that's awesome.
And it was Megan's first squirrel hunt.
Wait, okay.
And she harvested
her squirrels. Wait, you Egan, calling them?
I called the squirrels. Yes. Ellie, I guided the hunt.
Did you say, Ellie, hey, come here, squirrels? What did you call
the squirrels? Called the squirrels with a squirrel call.
Yes, let's hear it.
I can't do it with my face.
Sure you can. Let's hear
it. Squirrel call.
Do it in French.
You guys are the worst ever. Why don't you guys do your squirrel calls?
You guys are the worst.
Well, I don't
ever.
Use squirrel call. I just see them and shoot them.
I don't know what
to squirrel,
say.
Hey, squirrel, come here, squirrel.
I was going to ask you called squirrels. What did you call them?
Jack.
I called them nuts.
Hey, Stu, come here.
Squirrel does taste a little nutty when you eat it. I'm excited.
I called them Alvin, Calvin, Anderson? And Theodore.
Alvin. It's Simon.
Those are chipmunks.
They're a little nutty, too. I am very excited.
Sorry, I don't know TV. I don't watch TV.
Elvis,
I'm outside
Simon
calling squirrels.
I don't think I've seen Jacob laugh as much as he's been laughing during
this
first segment. Well,
you know
what?
You guys can come over to the next squirrel hunt, and you can see I call them in, and then Dave shoots them, and it works out really well.
Well, you guys are quite a team.
Yeah,
so thank
we made
goodness.
Quite a team, and we had a good harvest.
We're gonna talk.
That was a really pretty picture at the end too, on top of the barrels.
Yeah,
that was really pretty.
The calls
worked. And you posted this picture, so if you want
to
see
feel free to jump in here, Megan and Dave, to back me up on these
Where
calls.
Did you see the picture?
It was on Facebook.
On Facebook, okay.
No, but it was super important that we got these squirrels because we needed them for
What we're going to talk about, yes.
For the class.
We're going to talk about Megan Salazar's involvement with Dave Motovilov and their preparation of wild game and how you can be involved in that as well. Coming up, my weekly Wisco. I had one of those moments when you hunt year after year, you have times that are really, really successful and really down. And Danielle, we've talked about this on the air before. Asking permission is not something that's easy to do. I was scouting for the past 2 months. I've been watching about 200 to 300 geese on an area of property near where I live that the owner does not give permission to hunt. And in that were two melanistic Canada geese, white with white and gray tips on their wings.
Beautiful.
There were three melanistic geese. And I've been watching these, and I talked to the owner 3 times, and he was a very nice person. Hey, I really appreciate it, but we've got soccer fields on the property. We don't love people to come hunt. But I did not lose hope. And last week, I got a phone call from a friend of mine who said, hey, have you been driving around lately? I think I saw those 3 geese you were watching at a different field.
Even better.
And I drove and I found them and I knocked on the door and I had a lovely talk with the woman who she and her husband owned the property. And I said, hey, would it be okay to hunt a few of the geese here? And she said, and this is where it gets tricky. She said, I guess I'm okay with you hunting there, but you need to go next door and talk to the woman next door because she owns horses and we don't want to upset her with shooting with horses.
Respectable.
But there was plenty of space for a safe hunt, but I also respect that. So then I went next door and I explained to the woman that I had permission. Would it be okay with her, with the horses? So now this is the double whammy. You got to have so many things have to fall into place for this hunt to even happen. And I went and I talked with the woman and she said, sure, have at it. I called a few of my friends. We had permission to get out there. We ended up out there. Chef Lawton was there. Tyler Degner, a buddy of mine, was there. And sure as heck, these 3 melanistic white geese came in. And we got 2 out of the 3 of them. And they
That's
are
fantastic.
Amazing. amazing. And it was so exciting. It was hunt of a lifetime, literally birds of a lifetime. And if that ain't a pretty exciting weekly Wisco, I don't know what is. Ooh. And what's exciting is this show. We love having you along. This is Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Maine voters decide November 4th whether adding more ID and mail-in voting restrictions for most voters justifies preventing almost non-existent voter fraud. Question 1 tightens voter ID requirements and adds hurdles for mail-in voters, including the elderly and disabled, despite only 2 voter fraud convictions since 1982. About half of Maine's over 842,000 2024 voters used a mail-in ballot, and over 16,000 subscribed to an ongoing absentee voter list, according to the state's September 2025 figures. If approved, Question 1 would eliminate the absentee list and prohibit requesting an absentee application by phone. It also prohibits third parties from delivering absentee ballot applications, including family members, and limits drop boxes. Maine's population is the oldest in the U.S., with 21.8% of residents over 65. Question 1 also narrows Maine's voter ID options, eliminating student IDs, tribal IDs, and other currently acceptable documents, despite no evidence of abuse. At almost 75%, Maine consistently has one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, and the Heritage Foundation's own figures show just 2 convictions for voter fraud in over 40 years. We have the text of Question 1 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A small conversation can make a big difference. Asking someone if they're okay is important. And during this Suicide Prevention Month, check in. And remember, 988 is always open. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Little Janet Jackson to bring us back from the break. Man, you cannot go wrong with that.
I thought it was Carol Baskin's principle. House.
Yeah, it does start out with a growling, large feline of some sort.
Yes.
This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside the Shotgun Sheila Danielle Fairman, Chef Ellie Lawton, the fame-acclaimed world champion chef extraordinaire,
squirrel
the chefery
caller,
of the show.
Because
she's
I
a
should
baller.
Wear a shot collar one time.
She's a baller.
Yes, I'll take the remote.
Squirrel caller.
What'd I do to you?
20-inch.
I just feel like maybe that's enough.
On the 4:10.
22.
Hey, Megan, Dave, I think it's time for us to leave. I mean, it seems like they have it under control from here.
Yes,
we
do.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if you weren't so good at squirrel calling, we wouldn't have all these jokes to make. It's perfect.
I am really good at squirrel calling.
Here's
my
question.
We have the squirrels to prove it.
Did you take the squirrel tails and sell them to the MEPS company, because they actually still to this day buy squirrel tails?
Yes.
Dave was supposed to do that. I don't know what he did.
Dave, did you? Dave's too far from the mic to talk, and I don't know if Dave talks.
I was not aware that I had to keep the tails.
What?
Was what? Not aware.
Well, next time. Next time you guys go.
For next time you squirrel hunt, MEPS, a company based here in Wisconsin, makes bucktails out of squirrel tails, and they will buy your squirrel
tails. Can't you give squirrel tails to
Dave? Maybe next time if you're not squirreling around, you would have heard it.
Of course you can. Oh, look at that. What are you, nuts?
What are you nuts?
Oh my, that's funny. So Chef Lawton and Megan Salazar had a successful squirrel hunt. They know next time to sell their tails to MEPS.
We're not selling our tails.
Oh boy.
That was Chef Ellie, not me.
Okay.
The squirrel tails. We're going to keep
Jacob just gave us the beware of FCC regulations look.
Why? We're going to make fishing lures with them.
That's a great idea. In fact,
I know some people.
Hey, I can't help it where you guys took that. We're making fishing lures with our squirrel tails.
Some people tie flies with squirrel tails.
Yes, they do.
Hair.
Yes.
So I'm sure that would be pretty exciting.
So we're not
selling
our tails. Sorry,
that's
guys.
Fantastic.
Sorry.
You can be all right, Daniel.
No. Okay, so you guys went squirrel hunting by your house then?
Yeah. Well, we planned to go into the kettle, but there were so many squirrels on my property, we just ended up staying there.
Oh, nice. Yes. Mm-hmm. How many did you shoot? Harvest. How
5.
Many? Nice.
5, yeah.
And you got a variety.
Yes.
Ooh, did you?
Yeah, Megan, tell
did you get any black squirrels?
It's your first squirrel hunt.
No, we got a gray, 2 fox, and 2 pine.
Wow, that's really cool.
The red ones. The little red ones.
Oh.
Now, the fox squirrel is actually the largest of those, correct?
Right.
Yeah, no, I think
they look just like grays. They're a little bit bigger, but then they have that red
tinge
to them in the gray.
Yeah, they're very pretty. Nice. I know this sounds weird, but I'd love to have like the different types of squirrels taxidermied. I think they look really cool.
At my old house, there was this black squirrel with a red, like a fire red tail.
What?
In my front. I have so many pictures of this. I guess it's the lucky neighborhood squirrel. I wanted to
shoot the lucky squirrel
so hard and mount it. So how cool would it be to have a black squirrel with a fire red tail?
I love stuff in nature when it gets different pigmentations through it. I think that's beautiful. And I mean, look, everything is a trophy in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything is beautiful and I eat everything I kill. And that is one of the Chef Lawton.
Oh,
yeah. What?
Oh,
what?
I thought you were going to say something about eating of the squirrels.
Oh, yeah. We're going to
talk
about it. I mean,
you
are the
chef. Oh, well, let's talk about it.
I'm so excited about the squirrel recipe.
You want to do the recipe now?
No, no, no. I want to talk about the workshop that
Megan
is putting together.
Yeah, Megan is.
With actually another quite foodie person, John Motoviloff, who is a fantastic guy. I have sat with him. He has been on this show before. He's been on the Foul Life podcast with us before. But John Motoviloff and you are putting together a workshop on cooking small game, which is one of the things people get into in order to get into hunting in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so actually, John and I met a couple of years ago, and we decided to actually kick off an entire series of wild game cooking workshops for ladies. John's the R3 coordinator for Pheasants Forever for the state of Wisconsin. R3 is retain, recruit, re-educate. I can't remember.
Something like that.
It's something
three
like
R's that have to do with recruiting folks and keeping them in the outdoors so we don't lose hunters every year.
Right. So John and I created a series of wild game cooking classes. The first one is just past the squirrel hunt, which was September 24th. Then we have waterfowl and upland birds coming up October 13th, venison on November 5th, and turkey April 22nd. So those are all held at Poinette. You can sign up for them on the DNR Learn to Hunt website.
And I'll tell you what. Go ahead.
R3, recruit, retain, and reactivate.
I was close.
Of hunters, anglers, and trappers, and shooting sports participants.
Oh, that's perfect.
Recruit, retain, reactivate.
Very important, and very important to the show, too. One of the things that makes me sad is that we lose folks in the outdoors every year. One of the things that makes me happy is that women aged 18 to 35 are the fastest growing group of new hunters, which I think is fantastic. Also, I'm going to tell you, make sure you check out our Facebook page, Raised in Wisco. Go in, sign up. We did a cooking segment at the Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo and got a ton of new followers. So go on. You're going to see why Megan Salazar is as good in the kitchen as she is. And you're going to see Chef Lawton's recipes also. And you can watch links to this podcast as well. Holy cow, this is going fast. We're going to have have to tell everybody where they can catch us. It's never halfway done. It's always just the beginning. And the best is still to come on Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show. 1490, WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump said that he's ordering troops to Portland, Oregon, just hours after Mayor Keith Wilson noted an increase in the amount of federal law enforcement in the city.
We have armored vehicles on the streets of Portland and reported agents throughout our community.
He said that was not necessary, but President Trump today says he's, quote, authorizing full force, if necessary, to handle what he called domestic terrorists. The president's threatened more prosecutions of political opponents after the charges filed against former FBI Director James Comey. ABC has learned that one charge alleges Comey shared information with a close friend about an investigation connected to Hillary Clinton so that friend could pass it on. The FBI fired agents who kneeled after George Floyd's death in 2020 during protests. The FBI Agents Association called the firings unlawful. And Tropical Depression 9's formed in the Atlantic, likely to become a tropical storm. It's prompted a state of emergency in South Carolina. This is ABC News.
The Packers head to Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers take on the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow night on Sunday Night Football. Kickoff at 7:20 p.m. Green Bay with players missing from their offensive line. Tackle Zach Tom and his backup Anthony Belton ruled out for the game. Left guard Aaron Banks listed as doubtful with an ankle injury. Baseball, the Brewers still looking to clinch home field advantage in the playoffs when they host the Reds again tonight. The crew losing to Cincinnati 3-1 on plays like in the sixth inning when the Reds' Eli De La Cruz hit a grounder into second, the ball hitting the bag and bouncing away.
That's some tough luck when a double play ball turns into a first and third. Instead of two outs, it turns into a first and third. They may not score that other run, so it would have changed the game maybe, but that's part of baseball. You know, you can't rely on luck to win or lose, so credit to the Reds. They're playing great. They haven't won too many games here in the last number of years, and they've done a good job of getting their team prepared. They're hoping they get in the postseason.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Not sure if you guys remember, I broke that whole Tom Holland getting a mild concussion story last week. Even though it might not seem all that important given what's happening in the world, in the spirit of real journalism, here's a follow-up on his condition. The 29-year-old is just fine and has been released from the hospital. Sony and Marvel are taking precautions and keeping Holland away from the set for a week to fully recuperate. The studios say this will not delay the release of the film. I can't imagine missing a week of grade school because I bumped my head on the swings. Here is a drama thriller to put on your radar. A House of Dynamite is still 2 weeks away from theaters, but generating a lot of buzz. The plot? A missile is launched at the United States, and there is a race to find out who is behind it and what the response should be. The film's directed by Catherine Bigelow, who oversees a hotshot cast, including Rebecca Ferguson and Idris Elba. The film will be available to stream October 24th after a brief, limited theatrical run. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Lots of sun today. We'll see highs in the upper 70s, south winds at about 5 to 10. For tonight, clear skies, no wind, mid-40s, sunshine with a high near 76 for Sunday. Sunday night, clear and 55, sunshine on Monday, high of 82.
It's 73 at our studios.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Todd Albaugh.
She's a broadcasting legend in Wisconsin, and we're lucky enough to have her here at Civic Media. We start our new segment. Jane Matinere joins us for Matinere Mondays. Next time, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
You don't need boogie shoes to listen to Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. My name is Joel Clayfish. I live to hunt, fish, and eat, especially in this wonderful state. And boy, oh boy, there's no better place in the country to get out to the great outdoors. And there's no better place to laugh about it, learn about it, and learn how to live it than Raised in Wisco. We love when you join us in the ever-expanding Civic Media broadcast range. We're very excited to say we're on more than 23 stations statewide and even into a couple neighboring states now, which is very exciting. Welcome, Minnesota and Michigan, to the Civic Network family. And my host, Danielle Fairman, here with me today is going to tell you where you can listen to Raised in Wisco if you miss us. Saturdays at 11 a.m. on all your Civic Media stations. But if you don't catch us, you can still catch the show on the podcast. Danielle, where can they find that?
The podcast you can listen to on Spotify and Apple. You can say, hey, Alexa, play Raised in Wisco, and she'll play off of any your favorite stations. Also, go to Facebook. You can find us on there and YouTube.
Oh, that's fantastic. Chef Lawton is also in the shotgun seat with us because, after all, we always say Raised in Wisco is a
cooking show.
And we are very lucky to have a certified French culinarian, Chef Ellie Lawton, who joins us every week and talks recipes and food. Because as stewards of the outdoors, one of the things that is important to us is that we cook what we kill. Mm-hmm. And I think that is important that we don't waste what nature and God has provided. So I'm really excited to know. We talked a little bit with Megan Salazar, our Facebook czar, about cooking and eating squirrels in the workshop she's doing for women interested in learning how to do that. And if you follow us and watch our Facebook pages, you will see Chef Lawton's recipes. You'll see photographs posted there. And interact with us. We love to hear what your thinking, and I promise you, we're going to answer your questions if you send them in through our Facebook page. So go to Facebook, look up Raised in Wisco, follow us, and you will be able to be part of the show. And if you think you'd be a good guest, let us know.
Yes.
Ooh, that is awesome. Definitely not beyond me having folks who have written in.
And yes, George, right, we know you're going to be a guest again.
Yes, George Ernert, our number one listener.
Hello, George.
In Madison, Wisconsin. He has been he's a recurring guest. I don't know if I'd call him a contributor yet, like Megan Salazar, but he's close. He's getting close to that.
So, well, he's your best friend. So,
according
Megan's
to George,
my best friend. So,
according to George,
by Megan, that's right.
George's best friend.
They're our besties.
They're besties. Forget the resties.
Sorry, Dave.
Sorry, Dave. So, Megan Salazar, I want to talk to you. You just returned back to the state of Wisconsin, and you did something that honestly is kind of part of the hunting and outdoor realm that is not super familiar to me, and that is the dog training world. I did buy a dog at one point, Fancy Girl, and she was meant to be a hunter, and she turned out to be quite the lap dog. So
she's a sweet girl, though.
She's a very sweet girl. But you just returned from the World Championships.
Yeah, so I just got back from South Plankton, South Dakota. We stayed at the Grand Seal Lodge. I went to the World Championship for the Bird Dog Challenge, which is basically a rodeo of upland bird dogging.
No, well, explain that. That does not make sense. Explain that. Are you riding dogs?
No.
Like, what?
No, no. Okay, so in rodeos, I mean, you have different events, and you can win money. You can win money bird dogging. So we have, it's a timed shoot-to-retrieve event. Everything is either flushers or pointers, so the retrievers or the pointing breeds. The dog has to find and flush or find and point so many birds in a 10 to 15 acre field. They get 12 minutes to do it. The hunter then has to produce the bird, shoot the bird, and then harvest the bird. The dog has to retrieve it to hand. Fastest time wins. You get penalized for taking extra shots. You get penalized for moving from your spot after you take a shot and the dog doesn't retrieve it to hand. Anything can happen.
Wow.
So
that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
This is legitimately a tandem event also.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't, you can't just have a great dog. You have to have a decent shot, shooter.
Right.
Hunter.
Right.
And then you, and then
you got to be fast.
Then you got to get Mother Nature to cooperate.
Oh, yeah. So we had rain, we had wind, we had mosquitoes. It was hot. It was everything. I mean, I've been to national championships where we'd have a blizzard one day and then it'd be 75 the next. And you've got people coming from all over the country. We've got people from California, Nevada. Majority of them come from Wisconsin, actually. Some of the best bird dogs in this country come from the state of Wisconsin.
Wow.
Megan, you were participating, but you were also judging, right?
I was judging.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, how does that work? That's not a conflict of interest? How does that work?
I judge. I run flushers for the most point, so I have Labrador retrievers.
Okay.
And I'm a breeder, not a trainer.
Explain to folks what the difference between a flusher and a pointer is.
So a flushing dog is your golden retrievers, your Labrador retrievers, your spaniels. They go in, they find the bird with their nose, and then they get the bird up in the air so you can shoot it. A pointing dog will run the field and quarter until it finds the bird, and then it stops on point and essentially points to you where the bird is. The hunter then comes in and flushes the bird out of the bush.
So the hunter walking up to it is the reason it flies.
Correct. Unless you're like in the UK, a lot of times they run, or even down south with quail, they run both. So you'll have pointing dogs run, find the birds, and then they'll put flushers on the ground, flush the birds out for you.
Oh, that's neat. I've never done that one.
That's like, kind of both. Like when you run dogs for hogs down in Florida a little bit. You've got some that run them and then some that will try to pin them as well. I mean, there's different. What amazes me, honest to God, what most amazes me about all of this is how unbelievable dogs are. Mm-hmm. How unbelievable their natural instincts are. And then with a little bit of decent, not a little, but a little to a lot of training on top of that, they really are capable of some pretty fantastic things.
Yeah. I mean, between genetics and training, you can get yourself a pretty good burn dog.
Good.
So, yeah, I ran only in the ladies division, so it's only women hunters. I took fourth out of 15.
Good job.
So you
That's
are
awesome.
Literally
That's
right
huge.
Now fourth in the world.
Yep.
You are a world champion.
Well, and my dog is too. Well, so I ran my dog Liv, my older dog, and so she's a 3-time national champion.
Aww, wow. That girl, Liv.
Unfortunately, I lost out on $10,000 last time, but it's okay.
Well, how'd you lose out on $10,000?
Because we like to auction the dogs off in a Calcutta as like a little gamble on the side. And I got outbid on my own dog. And then when she won, whoever bid on her won the entire pot. And there just happened to be 10 grand in it.
No.
Oh, boy. That is a tough pill to swallow. But congratulations.
I got a big trophy, though.
I mean, holy cow. Danielle,
is this
what do you
like
think?
A multiple like event? A year, or is it just once a year they do this?
So we have Worlds once a year. We have Nationals, which is always in Kansas in March. And then there's little competitions throughout that help you qualify for those.
Wow.
So there's a grassroots up in Bondwell, Wisconsin, Navarino. Yeah, North Oak Hunt Club. They do a little smaller scale one for people that just want to try it out who've never tried the competition before.
In so how did you get into the judging, like... Did you have to sign? Are multiple people judging?
Yeah, there's multiple people judging. But I always volunteer to judge because that's actually what taught me how to play the game properly. Because there's a lot of field management and like strategy to it too.
So what do you judge on? Like, is it just keeping the time?
Yeah, you keep the time. You keep track of the shots that are you keep to make sure that the dog, because the dog like on a pointer side, they have to hold point for 3 seconds solid before they can move. So then there's different things there. There's safety shots, lots of different things that are involved.
That's so awesome.
And I've been doing it for 15 years now.
Does this help with the, did you start because you're breeding? Does that help with the puppies that you sell?
Yeah, so that's why, I started because I liked playing the game, and that's actually what got me into breeding after that. But now I just, I like playing the game.
Yeah.
I'm just a competitive person, so.
That'd be awesome to
and
watch.
And it's great to do in the off season from hunting because it really gives the dogs something to do outside of the hunting season to keep them in shape and keep them on top. So I also cleaned 200 chuckers last week.
That does not sound fun at all.
No, it's not. But we got chuckers the rest of the year now.
Well, that's true.
Delicious.
I bet you clean those 200 chuckers faster than Dave and I clean those 5 squirrels.
Oh, I feel like there's a story there.
Oh, God. We mutilated the first squirrel really bad because we just didn't know what we were doing. It's ripping.
Did you hear like the golf ball trick where you just put a slice around the neck and then put the golf ball around the neck and just pull it?
Yeah, we heard all the tricks and Dave and I just need to be a lot stronger. Well, Dave, you're really strong, but I was not able to.
Oh, here comes Dave.
By the last one, you know, it went very smoothly, so I don't know what you're saying, really. But I believe you would probably need, like, a BB for that one, not a golf ball, because the golf ball is, like, the size of the squirrel itself.
The red squirrels are tiny.
Oh, the tiny.
Yeah. They're tricky.
Pine, you call them? Pine squirrels,
I mean, their legs are like chicken wings.
If I'm not mistaken, the golf ball, you can use that in whitetails.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, and you get an air compressor, and you poke a hole in there and put the air compressor in there and it
what
the skin out of it. Bill Hill up where Josh hunts.
Okay, you have to explain what you're talking about because I'm lost.
They put a slit in the back of the neck, so on top of
the skin
of the skin.
Okay,
and then they get an air compressor and then they push the air compressor in there and you just let it
go. You just use the compressed air to pull it away.
The skin and the meat just separates.
It detaches. Yeah,
really?
So it's a lot easier to. Just like that.
Well, it's really easy to skin a whitetail when it's warm, too, though.
Oh,
so why not
yeah.
just do it then?
Well, because you have like a dozen of them.
Well, Dave and I did it. Dave and I did not need an air compressor after the first one. We had a good system going down.
Oh, man. That sounds fun. Well, I'm glad you guys had a great time doing that. And I'm glad that those squirrels are going to go to a good use, teaching other folks how to make squirrels.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know for sure, but I'm hoping against hope that maybe our cooking segment is going to have to do with squirrel. Are you going to let us in on a little
squirrels
secret?
Squirrels are nuts. I'm not sure yet.
Squirrels are nuts? Well, we got enough nuts and nutty folks in the studio, so we should
one for sure.
at least one. So Danielle, are you thinking maybe like Bandit should try this kind of thing? Or?
Oh no, no.
Why not?
Very quick answer.
No. For one, he's 6. His leg is still messed up, and no. Maybe
that's
with my new one,
no.
I'm getting another dog in 227 days.
Oh my gosh.
Now that anybody is counting.
And you also have a cat. Now, can you train cats to do this kind of thing?
I am getting rid of this cat. Turns out I'm not a cat person.
What?
Well, shouldn't you have figured that out before you got the cat?
Well no, because this is the thing. Everybody has always told me, I don't want a cat, so you can't have a cat. So,
okay.
And I've never had a chance to have a cat. So I brought home a cat.
I see.
Yeah, we remember.
Yeah, and Josh was not too happy, but he grew fond of the cat. And my sister's cat actually passed away. She had 4 seizures in one day.
Oof.
The cat did, not my sister.
Oh, good to hear.
Thank God.
Right.
I'm glad your sister's healthy.
I mean, sorry
healthy.
For the cat.
But she's doing the whole grieving process, and then I'm giving her Smokey. So.
Oh. Well, okay. See, it worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
You can have a friend with a feline friend from now on. That works.
I am not getting another animal in any days, anytime
soon. You're
going
to get another horse soon.
No.
Yeah,
no. I actually got rid of a horse.
Oh,
I did.
That's got to be very tough. Horses are one of those animals that I think most closely relates to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you are around a horse, it's like they know. Like they know. I rode horseback
in
college.
Dear Lord, was that therapeutic?
Yeah, it's wonderful being
horses
around
are incredibly therapeutic, and they do a lot of great stuff with folks with disabilities as well. I'm excited because you know what is coming. One of my favorite parts of, I was going to say the show, but I really just mean life, and that's eating, and Chef Lawton's recipe of the week on Raised in Wisco.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Mom! Family needing a getaway? Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells has everything you want right on the Wisconsin River. Splash into new surrealistic water park fun with Rainbow Rapids. Try new dual zipline racing at Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. New thrills like the towering 200-foot bungee ejection ride, plus $20 million in lodging renovations, 18 holes of challenging golf, all on site. Check it all out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Michigan's Supreme Court will hear a challenge against the Line 5 pipeline, the same oil pipeline Canadian oil giant Enbridge is pushing to reroute across northern Wisconsin. Opponents argue the Michigan Public Service Commission broke state laws when it approved the company's plan to drill an oil tunnel under the Straits of Mackinac. A new report from the Alliance for the Great Lakes and Clean Wisconsin shows nitrate pollution is taking a toll in our state. Thousands of families are paying higher costs to access safe drinking water and facing serious health risks because of nitrate pollution from fertilizer and manure. In 2022, farmers likely applied 16 million pounds of excess fertilizer beyond what crops needed. Right now on the Defender podcast, what do data centers mean for our water, land, energy bills, and why is it so hard to find out? An in-depth conversation on the secrets of data centers. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos's wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin space flight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average super yacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles? And that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for the great outdoors of Wisconsin and how to take from field to table and make it fantastic.
Whoop, whoop.
That is not a coincidence that every week on the show, we talk about what we're going to eat and how to make simple, delicious recipes. And we've got two real foodies with us today in the studio and four real good eaters.
Yep.
True. So yeah.
I fit into that category. I do try.
Dave
in the
counts
kitchen
as two,
well.
Though, because he can really,
Dave,
I don't know where
packs
he puts
it
the
away.
Food.
I don't know either. He's got to have a hollow leg. He ate twice as much as me today, and he's about half as wide.
And he kind of looks hungry.
He does?
Yeah. He's just kind of sitting there like, I could eat.
I think he looks like I could eat. I think that is exactly how he looks. Chef Lawton, we talked a lot today about dog trials and squirrel hunting. And
ooh, yeah.
I'm guessing.
We're not cooking dog, that's for sure.
I was going to say, and dog's not on the menu.
No, it's not.
What are we eating this week?
We are eating squirrels.
Cool.
Heck yeah, I love it. I love it. What are you, nuts? No.
Are you okay over
I'm
there?
Okay.
All right. Okay.
I'm going to be all right.
Just let the lady talk. So,
no, I mean, why would we do that? Let's tease everybody for a few more minutes. Joel's taking a nap. He'll be right back.
So squirrels, cast iron, one pot, one
this
pan.
This is a perfect This is a perfect recipe to talk about because we're all like, hey, squirrel, all the time, constantly.
All the time.
Yeah. We're talking about squirrel catch-a-tory.
Oh. Ooh, shouldn't it be catch-a-squirrely?
Oh, I like that one.
Joel's been practicing that all afternoon.
Sorry.
Okay, for us non-foodies, what in the world is catch-a-tory?
So catch-a-tory is actually Italian, and it means hunter style.
Mm.
So hunter style.
Really?
Yes, which is very fitting for this recipe because we hunted the squirrels. So hunter style just means that you are cooking everything together, all ingredients together. So you have the meat, the veggies, the sauce. It's cooked in a heavier tomato sauce, but there's also a lot of veggies in it.
Ooh.
So
I'm excited.
Cacciatore is a braised dish. So that means you're cooking, you're browning the meat, you're searing it on the outside before you put it in your sauce, and you're cooking it for a long time. So this recipe alone, it takes a little bit of time. So we're getting into those cooler days, throw it on in the morning, you know, and do your stuff during the day, let it cook and simmer. It takes about 3 or 4 hours to braise the squirrels, so they're really nice and tender.
So take me through the exact steps of braising a squirrel.
Okay, so you're going to get a cast iron pan, Danielle. You hit that on the head. Whoop, whoop. Don't hit yourself in the head with a cast iron.
Okay.
Oh, dad joke.
Yeah, was that?
Yeah, kind of.
That's good.
Good enough.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. They don't
hit yourself in the teeth with the squirrel pen or you'll need rodental work.
No, nobody understands what you just said.
Rodental.
I understand.
Rodent.
Rodental work.
Okay, so we're going to braise these squirrels. Get your cast iron pan. I like to use butter, hot cast iron pan. Put those fresh squirrels in there, and you're just browning the outside, okay? So it's almost like you're going to...
Just a full squirrel. You're gonna,
you can quarter it out if you want. I will cut ours in half to do it because it's going to sit and braise in, or simmer in the braising liquid. You can leave them whole if you want. It doesn't matter. The meat's going to fall off the bone either way. So you're just going to sear the outside till they get a little brown, and then you're going to transfer them over into your pot. Your Dutch oven, whatever you're going to simmer these in all day long. And then I'm going to run through the ingredients. And wonderful Megan here is going to post the recipe with the measurements. Right, Megan?
Fantastic. I love it.
Always.
I'll give you a wine recommendation, too.
Perfect. Ooh, from our sommelier.
There's wine
pirate.
In this one. Okay, so you're going to need a couple squirrels, then baby portobello mushrooms. Here's the fun part about this recipe, besides the fact that it has squirrel in it. At the end, when it's all done, you can either serve it over polenta, rice, pasta, or I like to just take a really crusty, chewy Italian bread and just kind of soak it into that.
Gosh, why am I full but hungry?
You could eat.
I could eat.
You'll need a little kosher salt, dry oregano, olive oil, some crushed tomatoes, and also some tomatoes on the vine. Or if you're like myself and Megan, you will have frozen tomatoes in your freezer from the garden this year. Onion, chicken stock, red wine, some malt vinegar, garlic, lemon juice, and then your fresh herbs. So basil, thyme, parsley, oregano, and you're pretty much set then.
Wow.
It's not a hard recipe. It's very basic ingredients. It's just going to take a little bit of time.
Now,
so
did I miss
hours.
The stock? Did I miss what that you use for the juice?
Chicken
or
stock.
Just the chicken
you can
stock
use chicken stock, beef, mushroom, whatever you have. If you make it yourself, or you can go to the store and buy it. Either it doesn't matter which one you use.
Okay, here's a chef question. That sounds amazing, and I'm excited for Megan to post that on the Raised in Wisco Facebook. Check it out. Here's a question I have for you as a chef. Can you substitute bone broth? That seems to be the latest thing in for regular broth or stock.
You can. It's going to have a little bit of different flavor.
Okay.
So I always tell people, because I get asked that question actually often when people are making soups and stews, taste your bone broth beforehand. See if you like the flavor, because bone broth, Megan knows this. She's probably sitting there thinking, yeah, duh. It has a much different flavor profile than just a stock.
Is it a more collagen-y kind of flavor?
Yes. More collagen. I don't know. Kind of a more, it's a sharper flavor. It's not as diluted, I guess, if you will.
Okay.
Than a chicken stock or mushroom stock, beef stock. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit more intense.
Holy cow.
I like to mix
delicious.
Them. So I won't use all bone broth for certain stews or soups or like this recipe. I would mix it. Yeah. Do half stock, half broth.
So then at the end, you just peel the meat away from
yeah,
the squirrel?
Yeah, so you'll serve it into your bowls, and then the meat will come right off the bone.
Yum.
And I have to know, you can use other proteins with this, too. You don't
certainly
have to use squirrel,
yeah,
rabbit.
Yep. Chicken thighs, bone and chicken thighs.
Pheasant, chucker.
Yes, chucker.
Oh, could you use a venison loin even?
Yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. That's what I love about these protein recipes. You can throw anything in there that you like. And, hey, if you're not a hunter, go to the store and buy yourself a roast and use that.
Heck
gosh,
yeah.
That's fantastic. Thanks
bon
for
appetit.
Joining us. What an awesome week we've had. We look forward to this next week in Wisconsin. We love having you along. Listen to us on all your civic media stations. And check us out if you miss us on Saturdays at 11. This is Raised in Wisco. We'll see you.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Slamming President Trump's surge of federal agents into Portland, Oregon, one of the state's senators and the mayor calling it a big show. The president says he's directing the Secretary of Defense to provide all necessary troops to Portland. President Trump's newly announced tariffs are scheduled to take effect next week and could jack up some drug prices, says ABC's Morgan Norwood.
We always say shop smart, right? Compare prices, look for domestic brands, delay those big ticket items and those purchases if you can. But when it comes to your drugs, definitely want to ask your doctor first, but then also ask for drug coupons and generic alternatives.
The tariffs will slap a 50% tax on kitchen cabinets and bathroom vanities and a 30% hit on upholstered furniture. South Carolina's governor has declared a state of emergency as a stalled storm is expected to bring a risk of flooding and flash flooding this weekend. In Munich, Germany, Arnold Schwarzenegger has directed a band in a beer tent. This is ABC News. Universal.